Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
We're really grateful that Jill McDaniel has been writing a children's version of these Wednesday night studies on the names of God and posting them on our Central Assembly Facebook page. So encourage you, if you've have children that are doing other activities tonight and you're here and you want to network them in to study those with your kids. And it is awesome to see all of you tonight. To know your name in our modern culture may not say a lot about you. Names are more identifiers than descriptors in our culture, but when it comes to the names of God, they're not identifiers, they are descriptors. In fact, our anchor verse has been Psalm 9 and verse 10, where it says, those who know your name will trust you. So something between knowing the name and finding something trustworthy, because to know the Lord's name is to know his nature. Now, I met somebody in the lobby, delightful young lady studying at Assemblies of God Theological Seminary. I believe her name was Hannah. So that doesn't tell me a lot about her, except that I had to ask her questions. I had to get to know her a little bit. And I really enjoyed my conversation with her in the lobby. However, God's name is his nature. And that's what we've been studying. That's why the names of God in Scripture are so incredibly important, because his name is his nature. So it says, those who know your name trust you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Now, that's an amazing statement right there. But the word Lord, often in our English version, as you will see there, as we're reading right here, sometimes in your Bible, it may be actually L-O-R-D is all capitalized, or if it's not capitalized, it's Lord. And that is the way in English we translate, in our English versions, the one personal name in the Old Testament that God gives to us. And it's the name Yahweh or Jehovah. So it's always translated Lord in our English versions. For you, Jehovah. It's related to the verb to be. You who will be what you will be, and all that you will be is enough for what we need. It's packed with trustworthiness. It's packed with all the reason why he would say, so the Lord, Yahweh, never forsakes those who seek him. And then we find compound versions of that name. So last week we looked at, from the book of Genesis, the name Jehovah Jireh, which is God as our provider. Tonight, we'd like to look at the name Jehovah Nissi, Nissi, N-I-S-S-I. Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. Now, that name comes out of an amazing story way back in Exodus chapter 17. Exodus, the big exit, right? Exodus, this is the biggest jailbreak in human history, where nearly 2 million people enslaved for hundreds of years under the Egyptians, the Israelite people, are led by Moses to escape Egypt with a lot of God's help. They cross the Red Sea. They're making their way into the wilderness area. God is leading them to the land he promised to Abraham well before them. These are descendants of Abraham, leading them to the land he promised them. That's why we call it the promised land. So they're between their slavery and their inheritance. That's where most of us are, by the way. We're between our slavery, which we're delivered from in Christ, and our inheritance, which will be fully realized when Jesus comes back again. We're somewhere in between. That's why to encounter the Lord and the Lord's name when you're between deliverance and inheritance, that's why it means so much to us, because that's exactly where we're living. The kingdom of God is sort of like being engaged, you know. You're not what you were, but you're not what you will be yet. You're not single anymore and unattached, but you're not married either. You're just in between. So this is where we are in the kingdom of God right now. We're living our lives, and they get out. And in this in-between time, we fight battles. And Israel crosses the Red Sea. They're free from Egyptian slavery. They're on their way to some place that's going to be abundant and prosperous and promised to them. They're in the middle. They're in the wilderness, and they get attacked. They get attacked actually by distant cousins of them, the Amalekites. And there's kind of bad blood between them. It's a long story. The problem is Israel has never fought a battle before. They have been a slave nation for 400 years. And they have never fought a battle that we see recorded yet. They got away from the Philistines because of God's plagues and God opening up the Red Sea. They didn't fight the Philistines with swords. I mean, the Egyptians with swords. So they escape without having to hold a sword. Now they're being attacked with an army that has swords and is coming after them. So in Exodus chapter 17, what are they going to do? This is the first time. And Moses, he knows God's name. And he knows that he's going to need the Lord to be his banner. They also don't have a king, so they don't have banners. They don't have national insignias or the insignias and colors of the king to go before them to give them spirit and heart. So Moses said, to his sidekick Joshua, Joshua, you go down and you lead the battle. You take the sword and lead the battle. I'm going to take the staff. That's the staff that he had hit the Nile River with, and it had turned to blood in one of the judgments to get the Egyptians to let the Israelites go. And it was a staff that he put out over the Red Sea, and it parted so that they could escape from the attacking Egyptians. This was the rod of God. This staff represented the authority of God. Moses said, I'm going to go to the top of the hill, and I'm going to hold the staff up like this in his hands, plural. So he would have... I didn't bring a stick, but if I had a stick or something, you could just imagine me holding it like this above my head, right? He did it above his head partly because Israel, they didn't have a king's insignia, but at least the army could maybe see him up in the hill and maybe find courage to keep fighting. But he also knew that this battle was totally dependent on God's victory. Totally dependent on God's victory. In the tongues and interpretation tonight, we were told, you know, the victory of the Lord is yours. This is precisely what we're talking about tonight. And so I want you daily, the Lord said, to live in my victory. And part of it is constantly acknowledging the authority of the Lord over the enemy. Because when we're in between our deliverance and our inheritance, we're going to get attacked. There's enemies who are vested in you not making progress towards God's destiny for you. And so you're going to fight battles, and we're pretty ill-equipped for many of these battles. So what happens is Moses is up there. Let's read verse 11. And here's where the plot thickens. Moses is up there. Joshua's in the valley engaging the battle. And verse 11 says, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. So you get this, Moses is, and how long can you do this for? Could you do this for 15 minutes without your arms getting pretty heavy? So we're doing great. So maybe I'll just, my arms are getting tired. Maybe I'll just let the rod down, staff down. And he needed at least 5-10 minutes of rest. And lo and behold, every time he brought his hands down, whereas Israel had been prevailing in the battle, all of a sudden, within a few minutes, the battle starts turning in favor of the enemy, and Israel starts taking casualties and having to push back. So Moses gets his rod up there again, and sure enough, as soon as he puts the staff up in the air again and his hands are lifted to heaven, sure enough, Israel starts prevailing again in the battle. This is a battle divinely energized by God. Victory that's coming straight from the hand of God as long as Moses keeps his hand up in the air. And if you have ever tried to break through in prayer, if you have ever tried to stand in faith through a battle, you know there's a lot of spiritual gravity. There's a lot of things that make your arms pretty tired and you come down. But they realized this was happening, so here's the mission. Keep Moses' hands in the air. At all costs, by whatever means. So, verse 12, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone. I've got a stool here, but they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. So first of all, he's not having to stand all day. And then Aaron and Hur, who was a him, held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. Like all day, hours and hours. But they said, if we're going to prevail in this battle, hands cannot stop being lifted to heaven. And so he's sitting on a rock, and Aaron and Hur, one on each side, is spending the whole day just keeping Moses' arms propped up. This was an illustrated lesson. This is the only time we see something like this happen, but the first battle they encounter between deliverance and destiny and inheritance, the first battle, God is wanting to teach them something really clear. Until sunset, they hold his hands up, and it said, so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. And this slave nation that never fought a battle wins over an experienced army because of the victory and intervention of the Lord. So verse 15, just a couple of verses farther, says Moses built an altar, and he called it, the Lord is my banner, or in Hebrew, Jehovah Nissi. Now the Hebrew word's root of the word banner means to lift, it means high, it means raised, it means to kind of make visible. In other words, everything about the Hebrew word for banner alludes to the raising up of a symbol of God's victory and triumph. In other words, the Lord is my banner is a way of alluding to the fact that hands lifted to the Lord, acknowledging his authority only, that's the reason that victory comes to us. And so when we say Jehovah Nissi, we are saying indeed what Psalm 9 verse 10 says, he never forsakes those who seek him. The issue is that we keep trusting him, that we keep arms raised to him, and that victory comes from him alone. I was talking a while ago to a great man of God, and he this was a spiritual leader and everything, but he came very, very sick. And he went through weeks and weeks of just almost on the edge of life. And he said to me, Jim, he said, there were times where, I hate to admit this, but I was so weak and I was so sick that I couldn't even pray for myself. But he said, God gave me Aaron's and hers around me that just stood in that gap, so to speak, between me and God. In my incredible weakness, God, people came along to help keep my arms lifted to the Lord. This is a wonderful way in which we serve each other in community. You know, I like to think of praying for each other as love on its knees. It's the way we care for each other, the way we stand with each other. And the important thing is that if we will continue to acknowledge the authority and victory of the Lord, even though sometimes our hands are getting weary and we can't always see the results, but I want to tell you, God does not forsake those who seek him because we know his name. Because we know his name, we trust him, and he never forsakes those who seek him. And so we hold up hands to him because this is speaking of our victory. Just two verses to close. Proverbs 21, verse 31 says, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. I love how holistic this verse is. In fact, Pastor Crystal mentioned this verse in her message Sunday night. I sometimes say to the staff, we're doing a marriage every day as leaders in this church. We're doing a marriage not between two people, but between excellence and anointing. And in fact, it's one of our 10 core values as a staff team, that we marry excellence with anointing. Excellence is our part. It's our stewardship. The horse is prepared for battle, right? I mean, we need to do our part, right? But anointing is counterintuitive. Anointing always reminds us that even at our best with excellence, it's not enough to win the spiritual battles. Hands need to be lifted to the Lord. And anointing is where the victory comes. So Proverbs 21:31, I often talk about this verse when I'm talking to leaders. You know, we prepare the horse for battle. We try all we can. But victory comes from the Lord. That's why we can't have churches that don't pray. We can't have believers that don't know how to keep hands lifted to the Lord. That's why we can't have movements of God in our nation without His awesome presence filling our midst and doing what we could never account for, because victory comes from the Lord. He is Jehovah Nissi. He's our banner. And one of my favorite verses out of the story of Hezekiah, they're being attacked by the Assyrians, and King Hezekiah is urging his people against all odds to stand for the victory of the Lord. And look what he says in chapter 32 of 2 Chronicles, verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. That's a word for some of us. I know there's a lot of spiritual gravity. I know sometimes we get so overwhelmingly wearied whenever we try to pray. I know standing in faith can be so tough. But let's make sure we have prayer partners. Let's make sure we have people helping to hold our hands in the air. And let's, above all, make sure we never stop holding the grounds of faith. He said, don't be discouraged. Don't be weary. Why? Because we can get that. We can get afraid. We can get as discouraged. And we can get pretty intimidated by the battle. He said, but don't be afraid and don't be discouraged because of the king of Assyria or the vast army with him. Or we would say, don't be afraid because of the devil and all the demons in hell that are after you. For there is a greater power with us than with them. Next verse. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. There's a greater power within us than him. For with them is the arm of the flesh, but we have victory in another realm completely. How do you win a war? Just by holding the authority, the symbol of God's authority above your head, symbolizing God's victory and appealing to his triumph. You know, that's only what's spiritually transacted. We cannot live like functional atheists, where we believe the right things, but we live as if they're not true. That's why the word of the Lord came to us tonight, saying, I want you actually to live triumph every day. That means no matter what. I'm weary, I'm going to find some prayer partners. I don't even think I can pray anymore. No problem. That's why you've got people around you. At all costs, however, we keep arms lifted to the Lord. I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to close in an unusual way tonight. I'm going to sit right here, and I'm just going to pray for victory wherever it's needed in your lives. And if some of you want to come and just stand around me and pray with me, I want to invite you. You don't have to come, but if some of you like to come and just like shoulder to shoulder, just like it took three people to keep the acknowledgement of God's authority there, I invite you to just to come. Come stand beside me, Pastor Anthony, and anybody wants to just to come. We're just going to pray for a few minutes together, and if you'd like to come, you can. And I'm just going to pray for all of you. We're just going to stand together in victory. Hold each other's arms up and pray to Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. That alludes to all his, that's a way of saying, God's my victory. I don't care what I see. I don't care what's coming at me. God's my victory. And I'm never going to give up that ground, that God's my victory. Father, some of us just need to claim that holy ground today of faith. My God, some of us are battling sicknesses. Some of us have kids that are out of control and have walked away from you. Some of us have financial problems we don't see the end to. My God, some of us are being harassed and can't sleep at nights. Lord, some of us have addictions we can't seem to break. My God, some of us, we just believe that you've given us promises, but we haven't seen them yet. We really do feel in between deliverance and inheritance. And it seems like hell's trying to discourage us, and spiritual gravity is trying to keep us, make us drop our arms and stop trusting you. But my God, in Jesus' name, we proclaim that you are Jehovah Nissi. Hallelujah. We stand shoulder to shoulder, and we stand the ground that you are Jehovah, our victory, our banner. You are the Lord, our banner, Jehovah Nissi. We thank you, Lord, that yours is the victory and the power and the might. Would you just help us to strive less and trust you more? Lord God, where we're weary, Lord, would you bring prayer partners into our lives? Lord, where we need help, would you give us courage to ask people to pray with us specifically? Would you help us to be Aaron and hers to each other as Moses had support to keep his hands in the air? Lord, at all costs, help us to keep trusting you. And Lord, we thank you that you never forsake those who seek you. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to begin what you've started in our lives. We thank you that you are the Lord, our victory. Hallelujah. You are the Lord, our banner. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. We have more than the arm of the flesh. We thank you. Greater is you in us than anything in the world that's hindering. My God, we proclaim that like Hezekiah did. And it says, and the people of God took great encouragement from what Hezekiah said. So we proclaim it again. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. For with them is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God. Hallelujah. With us is Jehovah Nissi, our banner, our victory, and our triumph. Hallelujah. As your word spoke to us tonight, let us walk daily in your victory. Let our faith not fail or flag. Let us just stand trusting you no matter what we see, trusting your character, that you reward those who trust you and seek you. So we thank you for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just for a moment thank him for being all that, for being Jehovah Nissi? We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Above the enemy, above the battle in our lives, we thank you that you are the Lord our victory, the Lord our banner. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, you're able. Thank you, you're stronger than the arm of flesh. Thank you, Lord. What we can't do, you can do. Thank you, you can control things and people that we can't control. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And keep being the Lord our banner in our families and in our city. We pray, oh God, that you'll be victory and deliverance, Lord, to many people who are unsaved in our city, to our friends. And Lord, we pray that you'll be the victory. You'll be Jehovah Nissi over City Reach tonight. You'll be Jehovah Nissi over Central Assembly. You'll be Jehovah Nissi over James River. You'll be Jehovah Nissi, Lord, over Evangel Temple and Second Baptist and Ridgecrest Baptist and High Street Baptist and my God, and Crossroads Church. We pray that you'll be Jehovah Nissi, Lord, over every church. Be the banner over every church, so you will be the one we trust. We won't trust our programs. We won't trust our music. We won't trust our good looks or our wonderful style. My God, we pray that we will trust you alone, that you will be our victory, and we'll see deliverance that no human being can bring. You'll see the armies of the darkness recede, and may your armies prevail in the spiritual realm in our city, we pray, and in our nation, we pray. Do this, Lord. We stand together in agreement that you will be Jehovah Nissi. You will be the banner of victory. Lord, that your triumph will be the song we will sing in the end. Hallelujah. To the day you come again. Let it be, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think I've told the story before of I was up when I used to pastor here. We were building facilities, and I was up in the middle of the night, to be honest, worrying, trying to disguise it as prayer. Prayer without faith, that would be worrying. And I was pacing, it was 2:30 in the morning, I was pacing through the kitchen, turned left, then toward the front door, back to, I was just doing that L. And I got near the door, and I felt like the Spirit of God said, Bradford, I want you to stop pacing, and I want you to look down and imagine a square around your feet. I want you to imagine that that's the ground of faith. And I just want you to stand and claim the ground of faith. Don't step out of that box right now. Just claim the ground of faith. And I remember specifically what he said to me. He said, and I want you to entertain no other possibility other than I will triumph, and I will provide, and I will be your banner, and I will be all you need. Entertain no other possibility but that. That's what we're doing tonight. Some of you standing close with me, some of you being the agreeing congregation. We're just standing our ground and saying, God, we entertain no other possibility than you're our victory. Amen. That's partly how we live it every day. We just never give up that ground, no matter what we see, because we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And we know his name, and we trust him, because we know his nature, and we know he never forsakes those who follow him. I want to live my life entertaining no other possibility than that will happen.